Well, I don't know what, whatever.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, they can get weird, all right.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, I think. Come on, sit down. You don't need to stand up and applaud just because I started the show. Thank you so much, though. Please hold your applause to the end of the program because it really screws me up. Hi, how are you? How you doing? Good tasting, huh? I started my day today with a bowl of cereal. There's nothing like a bowl of cereal. Do you know why? There's nothing that brings me back to my childhood more than a bowl of spoon milk and some cereal and some of that wheat gluten crap. I love it, ma'am. But when I was growing up, things were really, really different. And, you know, I don't eat as much sugar as I used to eat because I shouldn't. It's not that I can't, but I really shouldn't, so therefore I can't. But man, I'd miss sugar. I remember as a child waking up in the morning, changing my underpants every Thursday, going downstairs. It was the one thing that I could get out of the kitchen without too much help from my mother, or really no help at all. And I would grab one of those classic large, big ceramic bowls. And in the pantry, there'd be a box of cereal. Be my friend. It was cereal like Trix and Kellogg's Sugar Frosted Flakes. Yes, back then they called them Sugar Frosted Flakes. Now they're just Frosted Flakes, or just Flakes. But it was the sugar that I craved, and I didn't even know it. It was the sugar that I wanted. Sugar Smacks, what a great cereal. Those luscious, fruity, sugary flavors of Trix. And of course, Tony the Tiger with his sugar frosted flakes. Lucky Charms with the marshmallows. Not too big on marshmallows and milk, but my friends liked it, and I respected that. And I would just dump the cereal into that bowl and smell that good glutinous flavor wafting up my nostrils. Then I'd walk toward the refrigerator where that nice cold milk was stored. And I'd take out that gallon of milk and I'd pour myself some milk into that cereal. And as soon as I did, it all came alive. I had to wait for the music to recycle. I also liked the Rice Krispies. Not a lot of sugar on them, but when you poured the milk on those Rice Krispies, they took off. They started singing. They started dancing. They started letting you know that life was surrounding you, because these little cereals would just make a fuss that nobody could deny. And then I take my big spoon, my tablespoon, and dip it in that cereal, and that first taste of sugar in the morning, oh, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time. It got me started. And then when I got home from school, I'd have another bowl of cereal. And then before I went to bed, I'd have a bowl of cereal. Cereal was my life. Yeah. Then I got older, and people started telling me that sugar was not good for me. My doctor started scolding me. I think he once slapped me in the face and said, "You sugar asshole, you." He did. Actually did. That's when I changed doctors. But it became clear that sugar was evil. And yet, I spent most of my childhood on sugar. With those sugary cereals, eating candies every day, tons of cookies and brownies and cakes and ice cream. And when I went to restaurants, when my parents would order the food for me, I'd be sitting there and I'd be bored. And they had sugar cubes in a little dish. No sugar packets back then, sugar cubes. And I'd suck on that sugar cube like it was candy. Man, it's amazing I'm still alive. But the sugar is now gone. It is sad. It's sad that it's all changed. And now if you're a kid, you can't even enjoy all that sugar that I enjoyed. No, you have restrictions now, because everybody over the age of 3 years old will develop type 2 diabetes by the time they're 10 years old. Our children are obese, not so much because they eat sugar, although that's part of it, but more so that they just don't move anymore. You see, if you're going to consume amazing amounts of stupid food, like sugars, and weak gluten, globular weak gluten. And if you're going to consume fatty foods like fried chicken and bar pizza and all that fried crappy crapola, then you're going to have to move a little bit. And that's why today's youth is obese, and adults are obese, and seniors are obese, and I think even a couple of my dogs have been obese. Hard to see through the fur, but I believe they were obese as well. No, the rules have changed, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're all very health conscious because we know that these things will not necessarily kill you, but give you a quality of life that is equal to that of a turtle or a slug. And now with the onslaught of the personal computers and the smartphones and the iPads and the maxi pads and all those things. Now all we do is we sit in a very stationary position and we never move. Now, not to say that when I was growing up, we moved a lot. Well, yeah, we did. We would go out and play with our friends and stuff. When we came home from school, we wouldn't just sit there and play with our tablets like Moses did when he went to Mount Sinai. At least Moses walked through the desert, a little bit of exercise on his Fitbit right there. And you're constantly getting sand out of your nose when you walk through a desert. I don't know if you've ever walked through a desert. I know I haven't, but I've seen plenty of movies. You get sand up your nose, and that's annoying. Not to mention the sand gets in your sandals. Guess why they call them sandals? Because there's sand in them. When I was a kid, I watched TV day and night. I'd come home from school, turn on that TV, and that TV, and it was never turned off through the entire day until I went to bed. And even in bed, I watched TV. My parents were very permissive TV-wise because they knew if they tried to stop me, I would kill them. Not that we had a gun in the house when I was growing up. There were plenty of sharp objects, though, and my parents knew that. So they didn't mess with my television watching, but I sat there in an idle position. We didn't have remote controls when I was really teeny, teeny, teeny weeny. Had to get up from the couch and change the channel. So channel surfing was like sitting right in front of the tube. But at least, you know, you used your arms a little bit. Now, it's nothing. Everything is robot, Bluetooth, everything that you don't have to do. I even have a Fitbit and I hire somebody to walk around with it because I'm too lazy and I want to show the good numbers. I suppose it's phony, but at least the numbers look good. So, ladies and gentlemen, things have changed. They're not what they were. We are different. So now I pay homage. Oh, there's that stupid music again. I pay homage to Sugar. Sugar, I knew you well. Yes, I did, honey. Sugar. Yes, baby. I knew you, honey. I knew you, Sugar. But no more. Now I must flee from you at a high pace. When I see Sugar on a label, I question how much sugar are you. And if you're more than 3 grams, I'm afraid I'm going to have to not accept you into my world of eating. Yes, it's difficult. The older we get, the more we have to be careful. I know. But it doesn't mean that I can't sit back in my chair and remember those days of those beautiful cereals. They were decadent. They were poison. But they were good. And isn't that what life is all about? All the bad stuff is the stuff that we love. And we're constantly told by everybody around us, don't enjoy anything. No one's told me that you can't have too much sex. Although, someday they will. But as I get older, who really cares? I just want that sugar, man. I want that sugar. But I can't have it.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
I miss naked. I do. I used to be naked. Yeah, I was born naked. Did you know that? Yeah, without a stitch of clothing on me, I was buck naked. I don't know what that means, by the way. What is buck naked? A buck would be a male deer. But the female deers are naked too, and so are all the animals. So I don't understand what that buck means. Is it like, I'll give you a dollar if you get naked? I don't know what that means, the buck part. Anyway, I used to be naked. When I was younger, when I was a young adult, I walked around naked. My girlfriends and I would walk around, I lived in New York City, we would walk around naked. We would have the shades down so no one could see us walking around naked, but we would walk around naked together. I liked my body. I thought my body was nice, and I always thought their bodies were nice too. I thought naked was just like the way you're supposed to be. Not that I'm religious, but the Adam and Eve thing kind of seemed like it made sense to me because there were no clothiers then and they didn't have seers, so there were no pants. So I get that. Then I got a little bit older and I started realizing that naked is not working in my favor anymore. Now, if someone said, Ron, let's get naked, I would probably say, you sure you want to do that? Because not only do I want you to see my body, what it really looks like naked, which is not really what it used to be. There are parts that are kind of a little larger than they're supposed to be, and not the parts that you would like to be a little bit larger. Those parts are pretty much the same or a little bit smaller, to be honest with you. But yeah, naked's not going to do anything for you. I'm better off clothed. You'll understand if you saw that. And to be honest with you, I don't want to really see you naked either. Because over a certain age, certain amount of your stuff doesn't look too cool either. I don't think that you naked, maybe for the first minute, you know, the shock of it. But after the naked shock wears off, I'm going to start finding things on you that are not going to be too attractive to me like they would be otherwise. Do you know what I'm talking about? So us getting naked together is probably not a good idea. Unless the lights are off. Then it's a touchy kind of thing, and I can get away with that. I can get away with being touched naked because you won't be able to see stuff. And touching, I think I can get away with. And I certainly don't have to look at your face that long in the dark. So naked doesn't really do much for us anymore. To be honest with you, sunlight doesn't do much for us anymore either. Anything that you can see clearly is probably not a good idea at our age now. And what do we call our age? I'd say once you're over 35, you're pretty much done. I'm sorry to say that, but you know it's true. Stuff starts getting not to look as good as it was before. Naked is now out of the question. Sure, we can put stuff near the naked and make naked look almost good. But naked, no. You're taking a chance. There's too much of a chance to be taken on the naked side of life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I implore you. I don't employ you because I can't afford you, but I implore you, let's take the naked equation out of our lives right now. And let's get back to clothes, by the way. But I went to Old Navy yesterday down by the shipyard. I'm only kidding. Old Navy is a store. This is kind of a funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
So I went to Old Navy yesterday, and that's not the funniest part of it, although it is kind of funny. Old Navy's a very interesting store. When you go in there, you expect to see a lot of battleships and a lot of old Navy captains standing there in their Navy captain costumes and uniforms, but it's not. It's not like that at all. Old Navy has one of the few things that I can wear. I happen to, even though I don't look wonderful naked, I must say that I have very skinny legs. It kind of stops there, but I have nice legs, man. I don't know how to put it otherwise. I have nice legs. And so I can wear very slim pants. As a matter of fact, anything other than slim on me looks baggy. Baggy's not a good look for me. I know some of my friends like the baggy things, the cargo pants, where you can literally put cargo in your pants. The last thing I want to put in my pants is cargo. I don't even understand what cargo is. I think cargo is what you put on a boat or something. It's big containers of crap. I don't want big containers of crap in my pants. That didn't sound right, did it? But I don't want it. So I go for the skinny jeans and the skinny pants, and one of the few places that really has them is Old Navy. So I went on a mission, on an Old Navy mission. By the way, I used to shop at Old Army, but they don't have those stores anymore, so I don't think they ever did, as a matter of fact. So I go to Old Navy, and there's a lot of, you know, sleazy women on the dock when you walk in. Every time I go into the Old Navy store to get myself the slim pants, I see the slim pants on a display, and there's a lot of slim pants there. And I look through the slim pants, and the one size that they never, ever have is my size. And I'm not unusually large-waisted. I'm not unusually small-waisted. I'm kind of like right in between. And maybe that's why they just never have my size, because everybody has already bought them. And I feel like going up to the Old Navy people and saying, look, could you, the size that I am that you keep selling out apparently, can you order like more of those than usual perhaps? Did you ever think that perhaps in purchasing and in merchandising, you might want to order more of the stuff that moves faster? And then you look at the people at the Old Navy store and you realize, no, they wouldn't do that. They don't look like seasoned merchandise professionals. Not that I think everybody that works at Old Navy in the store itself orders merchandise. I don't know. I don't know how that works, to be honest with you. But I'm just saying, if anybody is listening to the show who works at Old Navy or has ever been in the Navy, which would be a close second to what I need, I would really love it if you could just order in my pant size. That's all I'm asking. Perhaps I'm using this show for my own personal gain, like alerting people to order in my pant size in larger quantities. But so be it.
Another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
I got a condescending comment from a 5-year-old kid. Oh, man. Sorry, I was sipping water. Do you mind? I'm talking now. I've talked for like over 20 minutes. I need a sip of water. This is like a desert of talk show, is what it is. It's what it is. All right, let's speak to our guest for today, if I may. If I may so interrupt myself in order to speak to a guest, if I may do so. We're coming to the end of hurricane season. And for those in the Northeast, we're coming to the beginning of perhaps snowstorm season. There's always something going on, and you need to be prepared. Before I get into this and speak to our guest, Bonnie, who's with the National Weather Service, I just want to tell you that I am amused. I am amused by television stations when they come to their weather report. They're usually the lead in to a commercial. They do a little bit of news, and then the weather guy, the meteorologist, quote unquote, or the weather lady, sorry, says, big changes for tomorrow, weather that you won't believe. We'll tell you about it after this commercial break. And somehow, well, I don't like to be teased, first of all, because I can always go to the Weather Channel and find out what the hell you're talking about anyway. I don't have to wait till after commercial, asshole. But they make it sound so... weather was never that big a deal unless it was a torrential, horrible, devastating storm that could wipe out humanity. And we've had quite a few of those lately, or the possibility of thereof. But these weather people make such big deals out of rain. Oh, tomorrow, showers tomorrow. Now, you be careful of hydroplaning, and, oh, frogs and things will be coming from the sky, and here's the big weather story. Moisture. Oh, really? I've never seen moisture come from the sky. Yes, Yes, now you're going to be able to have like a few hours of sunshine to get things done. But other than that, it's going to rain all day. Oh my God, where? I gotta pack up the kids in the car. Let's get the hell out of here. There's going to be moisture in the air. I'll go. I gotta go somewhere quickly. Look, kids, get in the car. Rain's coming. And then they show the radar with this gigantic green blob coming at you, like it's going to encircle you and you'll die and there'll be a devastating death. And it's just freaking rain. Did you ever take a shower before? Moisture comes out of the thing and gets your body wet. That's all rain really is, and probably not as intense as when you're standing in a shower stall. So, like, what is your big deal? Oh, I could get wet.
I'm melting.
Don't get them wet. They will seek revenge upon you. What the hell's the difference? So your clothes get a little wet. You know what happens after clothes get wet? They dry. I mean, oh my God, I'm soaking wet. Oh no, I'm so wet. Come on, man. If it was acid or battery acid, I'd say, okay, maybe you have a case. Or maybe your clothes catch fire. That might be something to be concerned about. But if it gets a little moist, we've got to go crazy. And sometimes these gigantic blobs on the radar that are coming towards your town, sometimes they have some yellows and reds in them. Oh, what does that mean? Is that the part that's the death? No, it just means it's going to rain a little bit harder. Oh, how hard? Will it put holes in my head? Will it knock me to the ground? No, it'll just make you a little bit wetter otherwise. I mean, what is this with the rain and the weather? Like it's such a horrible, horrible thing. Oh, your weekend will be ruined because there's going to be, you have a little bit of a nice weekend, Sunday morning, but otherwise, your plans, you better watch out for your plans.
What? I was going to go to the store. Now I can't go to the store at all because it's going to be raining outside. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You know, it's funny when it's raining, people run from their car into the building as if they run fast enough, they won't get wet. Or I can run between the drops, and that way I won't get wet. Or they cover their head, like if their hair gets wet, you're going to get pneumonia immediately. We are so scared of rain. I think rain is beautiful. It's the pitter-patter on your windows. It's nice. It's relaxing. It's pitter-pattering. Stop with the rain thing. All right, with that, let's speak to our guest who probably doesn't want to speak to me anymore. Bonnie Schneider is with Extreme Weather. Let's say hello to Bonnie. Hello.
Hey, Ron. This is Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie. How you doing?
Good. I'm a former Boston resident, and I went to BU also. So
oh.
I know your city.
Yes, you do. Well, welcome back.
Thanks.
Here's some flowers and candy for you.
Oh, wonderful.
You're welcome. Bonnie Schneider joins us. She is, she's been around various networks talking about weather and meteorology, and we've got an author here, Extreme Weather, A Guide to Surviving Flash Floods, Hurricanes, Heat Waves, Snowstorms, Tsunamis, and Other Natural Disasters, and National Disasters. The weather is, and thanks to your work in the past, the weather has become national awareness. I mean, there was a point where we didn't know much about it. Now we can follow it and chart it, and it's actually fascinating.
It sure is, Ron. I mean, and you know better than anyone in Boston, the snow that you had, not this year, but last year. 200 inches or something? 100
yeah,
inches?
It was 200.
So, of course, we definitely have seen extreme weather up in Boston and really all over the country, and that's why I decided to write the book, Extreme Weather. It's a survival guide because, you know, it doesn't matter really where you are. These big natural disasters that are wide scale can happen to you. Even if, you know, in Boston, obviously you get strong thunderstorms in the summer. You could even have tornadoes, which you've had already in Massachusetts this year. So it's really important to be prepared.
It is. And I know September is Awareness Month, but the way the media works, we're aware of everything that happens everywhere. So it kind of affects us, even though it's not happening where we live. And it's made us all a little bit different. Let me ask you before we get into this, has indeed some people call it climate change, whatever the case may be, Is this actually making the storms more intense, or is this a cyclical thing that happens every century or whatever?
Well, it's kind of a combination of both. You know, if you have warmer temperatures, you have more moisture in the air. If you have more moisture in the air, rainstorms are going to be more intense. Your flooding will be more intense. Your snowstorms will be more intense. So with all this intensity that we're seeing as storms ramp up, the main thing you really want to do is be prepared. And I'd say having an emergency kit, both at home and in your car, is crucial. Great place to get all the items that you need is batteries plus bulbs. They're the leading retailer for all the storm prep stuff. Yep. So it's a one-stop shop for emergency kits. I think it's important to make sure you have not just a flashlight, but also the battery chargers, because we all rely on our phones so much. Yeah. A headlight, a power cup, that's something that you can put in your car. It looks like a coffee cup, but it actually is something you could plug and, you know, charge phones in. And an outdoor lantern if you want to see the surrounding area, maybe on your walk at home.
Yeah.
It's just really important to be prepared and have those supplies. In addition to food, have at least two to three days worth for everyone in your family, and bottled water.
Yeah. Well, we just experienced this recently with a hurricane that went up the coast and through Florida and then up the coast. And, you know, you get reminded of these emergency kit situations whenever anything like that looms. And then we tend to forget about it until the next one comes along. But it does prove that you never know.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I'm glad that you mentioned that, because even if you have just a strong thunderstorm, we know we can lose power. So something that is intuitive that really is important to have is a generator. So Generac makes a generator called Guardian. It's a home generator.
Yeah.
And it knows when you lose power. So it automatically turns on, and then it turns off when the power is restored.
Oh.
Because, yeah, it's really, I think it's a great thing to have, because when we think about a power outage, sometimes it's for an hour, which is not a big deal, but sometimes it's longer. And not only do we lose light, which is dangerous, imagine if you're an elderly person and you can't see to get around, that's very dangerous, but also refrigeration. Medicines are often refrigerated. So if we lose power for a long period of time, we could be in big trouble if you have a medicine that you're relying on for your life. So you can't control the weather, but you can keep the power on. So the Generac Guardian Home Generator is a great resource.
Well, we've become babies. I mean, when my cell phone gets down to, like, no power and the battery goes out, I like panic just from that. And it's like I realize, Ron, you're a baby here. Your cell phone died. That's all. But
yeah,
I mean, that's how much we rely with technology. We rely everything. Everything is tied to power.
It sure is. I mean, that's so important. So, you know, if we just have your smartphone, you want to make sure that you have the apps that you need to stay safe. And the American Red Cross, we all rely on them in emergency situations. Their emergency app is sponsored by ServiceMaster. Mm-hmm. And it's one place where you could get all the resources you need. Like, let's say you had to evacuate and you don't know where the nearest shelter is.
Yeah.
It'll give you that information.
Oh.
And also, you can make a plan on it. And it's in English and Spanish. That's at redcross.org/apps.
Wow. So there are really tons of ways to prepare. You just have to be aware of them.
Yeah, and you also have to be aware, Ron, as you go through the storm and after, because if you get a tornado or a strong thunderstorm or even a nor'easter like we get in Boston so often, that could leave a lot of problems with your home in terms of flooding and other disasters. So there's a service called ServiceMaster Restore, and they are really the experts when it comes to being prepared, not just for your home, but if you have a business that's impacted by extreme weather. They're the trained experts, and they're ready to clean and repair homes and businesses before, during, and after a storm, and they advise not to attempt to do it on your own. I mean, imagine if you had live wires out there and you're just trying to clean up your yard,
right. You
could be in big trouble. So they're the experts.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes insurance insists on you doing it properly as opposed to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, thanks to people like you, we are indeed so aware of the weather, and we know what's coming. And I remember a time when you didn't. Even with the last hurricane, I said to some people, you know, there's a storm coming up there, and it's going to, you know, it could be riptides and such. And I didn't know. I didn't hear about any storm. It's like, what?
Oh,
where do you
so
live
true.
Under a rock? What's wrong with you?
No, you're right. That's so true, because when I interviewed in my book, I interviewed people from all over the country, and that was the common thread that I found, that the people that were caught in a flash flood in Arkansas went camping, and they said, well, we didn't know it was going to be flooding. They didn't even check the forecast before they went out. If you could just be weather aware, that would be more than half the reason to stay safe.
It is also so much more comforting psychologically to know that you're prepared in case. It's just a smart thing to do. And I know there's two kinds of people. There are those that think ahead, and there are those that react. And the ones that react are going to pay more money and they're going to go crazy. And the ones that are prepared and all set to go are going to have a more comfortable life.
Yeah, I think so too. You have peace of mind when you're prepared. Yeah. So you want to make sure that you have those supplies. And if you can't get to the store, batteriesplus.com, also you can order them on there. Yeah. But it's really just important to have those supplies ready. Yeah. And I talk about this. You can get more information on tipsontv.com if you want more information on Generac or the other brands I mentioned. But I think it's important to be prepared, have a plan, and have a family meeting. Uh-huh. Because it's one thing to have, like, mom or dad to know, but the kids have to know what to do, too. And if there's an emergency, if you have an elderly relative living at home, have a meeting and do a disaster drill. That's something I recommend in my book, Extreme Weather. Rehearse it. What would you do? Where would everybody meet if there was a disaster? Yeah. Who's the contact relative to stay in touch with? Those are important things to talk about.
I know that meteorologists such as yourself always talk about finding a place in the home that that's away from windows, that has inner structures, things like that. And you do need to kind of pick that out in your mind, you know, even if there's nothing happening at all. You just kind of need to know where to go.
Yeah, you absolutely need to know where to go. And look, tornadoes, as you know, they happen in Massachusetts. Yeah. Let's say there was one for your listeners. Yeah. Do they know where to go? I mean, you want to go to the most interior room in your home. Yeah. If you can, a bathtub, believe it or not, is a safe place, or an interior closet. Mm-hmm. So not everyone has basements. I was going to say basements, but not everybody has basements. Yeah. But if you have a lower level, that's where you want to stay safe. Okay. But being aware of this and talking about it, because as you mentioned, the weather does become more extreme. And look, we're going into winter soon enough, and when we start getting those nor'easters, we're going to have those power outages. So you want to make sure you have a Generac Guardian ready to go in case you lose power, and Service Master Restore in your phone ready to dial, because you know, if we get a nor'easter, you're going to have wind damage. And if you live on the coast, I know the Cape and the Islands just got blasted by Hermine last weekend. Especially Nantucket, we have wind gusts that were 52 miles per hour there. So I'm sure that's even for seasoned hardy New Englanders, you know, dealing with this extreme weather is something we have to prepare for.
I think someday everybody that wanted a beachfront property is going to say, why did I do this?
Yes, I agree with you. I thought that last weekend covering Hermine, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, interesting. Again, where to go to get all the preparedness information?
TipsOnTV.com has great information on where you can buy your supplies. And the generator I mentioned, and also Service Master Restore, which really can help. They're the experts on preparing for storms and cleaning up. Also, the American Red Cross emergency app sponsored by Service Master, tipsontv.com. You can load that app at redcross.org/apps. And my website is bonnieweather.com. And that's more information on my book there.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Bonnie. Bonnie. I'm almost out of time. Hey, let me go through the particulars of this particular arrangement that you're listening to. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every Monday through Friday. And it's internet radio podcasto, which means you can listen anytime. So you don't have to say like, oh, he's on at 10 o'clock. I wanted to hear him. Oh, no, I missed it. Oh, well, that's it for me. No. You can listen anytime when you get home from work in the middle of the day. If you can't sleep, I'll put you to sleep at night. Whatever. These shows are always here. Our server is with the Podbean people, and they have every show we've ever done, over 500 of them. They're all there, and they're all available to you right now. If you want to binge listen to 500 shows, good luck, but they're there. We're on New England Broadcasting, newenglandbroadcasting.com, ronvandam.com. TuneIn Radio has our shows. Also, iTunes has our shows. And we are frequently, well, on a weekly basis, we are on Wirecast and Telestream. And you can watch us do the show. And we also do a cable program. I do it with Tori Lagarde, and that can be seen on newenglandbroadcasting.com. There are two pages on that website. The first are the radio programs, and the other page says television, and there you can see the television shows. So, I mean, I don't know what else the hell you want from me at this point, because that's far more than I'm giving you than you have ever given me in your entire lifetime. So let's not play games. And there's no subscription, there are no fees, there are no dues. Nothing like that. If you want to send me a couple $1,000, you can do that, but I don't even ask you. So I really don't know what you're complaining about. I'm so sick of you complaining about everything. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand... Actually, no, won't be. I'll be back Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Goodbye. Oh, I hate to leave you. Bye. Goodbye. Go. Go away now. Don't you have something to do? Go have a sandwich. Have a bowl of cereal. How about a bowl of cereal, huh? How about shredded wheat? Ugh, God, seriously? I mean, why don't you just, like, take a chunk out of your wall and eat cardboard? Holy crap, that stuff is disgusting. Unless you add sugar, then it's good. It was like frosted shredded wheat. Do you ever have that? That's like sugar-coated cardboard. I mean, what could be better than that?